I think my wife will just like to hear my voice while she's doing her work.
Ooh, how about a live version?
Hey.
Oh, man, is this going to play? I haven't downloaded this yet. All right, well, fuckers, you're just going to have to wait for an intro song. Oh, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Memphis, Tennessee, Lucero!
That was like a throwback to like 2012.
I know. It's really, it's a retro intro.
I fucking love that song though.
A retro tro?
I don't like when you go to a show and, you know, people are like, that's our song. But I'm like, that's my song.
I mean, for the Helpful Snowman podcast, like that really is the song. Well, it's one of two songs.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, also, I guess I feel a certain level of ownership in it just because I'm like, has anyone pushed a band as hard as I've pushed Lucero?
I think maybe Lucero itself.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're doing more work than I am, but other than them.
I'm going to say, like, I don't even know who Lucero's record company is.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like they should be pushing them as hard.
Yeah, I know. Like, where, I was, like, tweeting the Greeley
should be like, Subprime Records, Lucero.
I was like tweeting the Independence Stampede and being like, can you guys bring these guys for fuck's sake?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on? And just always wanting to. And like, I think I emailed the Moxie Theater in town and was like, will you please bring this band? Like, they're fucking amazing.
So like, how far away would Lucero have to be before you'd say I wouldn't drive to go see them? So if you were in Greeley, Colorado, right?
Sure.
So if they were playing Moxie, like, which is down the street.
Yeah.
And you were working, say, 8 a.m., morning shift.
Uh-huh.
And Lucero's playing the night before, and there was no way you could get the day off.
Oh, I would still go.
You'd still go. Yeah. Okay. How about the Aggie, which is in Fort Collins, which is like a half hour away.
Yep.
All right.
I saw them there about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that. How about in Denver?
Yes, I've seen them there many times.
All right.
Probably more there than anywhere.
Colorado Springs.
Because
that's, you know, that's a couple hours. That's
so you're saying, like, I get off at 5 o'clock, they're mm-hmm. playing, I basically have to leave from work, go down there, see them, come back,
like, pretty close. Like, you can you'd be able to, like, come home in between. You would probably sleep, like, you would actually be in sleeping for maybe 4 hours.
Well, let me put it this way. You know, we went to Memphis this last year,
mm-hmm.
mostly to go to the Lucero family picnic,
ah.
because this has been a dream of mine for like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I suggested to the same group of friends that we go see them in Alaska.
So,
which I don't think is going to come together just because it's very pricey.
So I think like the genius thing is that you presented them with like two options and they're like, we'll take Tennessee instead of Alaska.
Let me tell you, Tennessee,
right?
Super fun place to visit. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Rent a car.
Okay.
But like, Tennessee exceeded my expectations in every way.
All right. Well, see, my wife's family is from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, hi, Jen. Love you.
Hi. Hold on. She's got a name, a fake name.
Wilma.
Damn it. You weren't supposed to say it.
Oh.
I always think Marge, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no,
see,
that's not it.
See, but you're right, because it's like it's some sitcom, animated sitcom wife names.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Marge, and I'm like, no, but it's close.
Right. And remember, Wilma is 5'2 and like 180 pounds.
Okay.
I think we did that. Like, I can't remember what it was, where we did some kind of like naming thing. Like, it was the like get an anonymous identity.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like anonymize you based mm-hmm. on your name or something.
Right.
You're right. We've done a lot of shit on this show.
Exactly. So
that's stupid shit.
So this is like, that's a little Stan Lee box that would be in the corner where it's like, you know, read Wolverine number 8, True Believers.
Yeah, exactly. See issue da 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 da.
Right. And we don't really have a good archivist for Helpful Snowman.
I would say we have none archivist.
Mm-hmm.
Archivist.
With the exception of
I played archivist for like 3 or 4 weeks to make the best of shows from the first 100 episodes and put that together. And that was like such a nightmare. Also, I was able to do that for the first 100 shows in anticipation of show 200, because the first 100 shows, I almost always had guests.
Right.
And then starting in somewhere in 200, I almost never have guests.
Like guests are pretty rare.
Yeah. And I like cannot listen to myself
because
I'm just like, it's weird. Doing a podcast is weird, and I don't know if it's like this for everyone, but people will bring up things on my podcast that I said or did, and I have no memory.
Oh, where people are like, you said this on your podcast, and you're like, probably I said that.
Yeah, they're like, they'll respond to something I said on a podcast, and I almost never remember.
Mm.
Like, if you want to save me embarrassment, if you're going to talk to me about something that was on here, tell me what it was. Exactly.
Actually, you know what would be even more helpful is if you wrote down the episode number.
Yeah.
And then sent it to him, say, on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's also that way you can make the episode 500.
Oh, yeah.
Super mega mix. Amazing.
Do you think this will make it to episode 500?
I don't know. Like, you're pretty close to 400 right now. Like, you're...
like 330-something.
Yeah. Like, you're sort of inching toward 400 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be at 400, you'll be pretty close to 400 about this time next year if you put out one a week.
You know how you'll be able to tell if I'm desperate is if I start counting Potoween as episodes.
Oh.
So like we go into Potoween and it's like episode 430, and then the next one after that is 461.
Right.
Then you'll know that I'm like, oh my god, we're trying to make it to 500.
Like you're just trying to limp across the finish line.
Yeah.
There's some kind of gypsy curse that like says you have to make 500 podcasts.
Exactly.
Like podcaster.
Otherwise I owe my first baby to
well
I would probably just be like, oh whoops, I had my first baby first. You gotta take it. I signed up.
It's like
up
the
for a curse.
You owe your firstborn kid, and you're like, yeah, all right. I'm never having kids, so all right. Good luck with that. That's fine.
Every once in a while, Poon Master Flex will say something about, like, oh, we're never having kids, you know, because this happened and this happened, and like, let's never have kids. And I'm like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're talking yourself into this or me,
right.
But you do not need to talk me into not having kids.
Mm.
Like, I'm pretty well in that category right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm not, I would not say I'm completely devoid of, like, the possibility.
Right.
But if someone was asking me right now, do you want to have a kid in the next 5 years, I'd be like, no.
Right.
And also, I mean, is there a point where, is it all about when the eggs degrade or does sperm degrade at some point?
I mean, I've
and
heard
make like a fucked up.
I've heard the sperm degrades too. Like,
but
at
then
a
it just
point,
doesn't
but,
work. Right?
Yeah, then it just doesn't kind of work.
Like, I feel like, and I know nothing about this, so I probably shouldn't even say it. But I feel like sperm is kind of an on-off switch in terms of like, yes, it made a baby or no, it didn't. Whereas eggs, they're like, I mean, it can still make a baby of a kind.
It can sort of make a baby.
May vary.
Yeah, like. It will make a baby, but as a full person, I mean...
Yeah.
Is someone with Down syndrome really a full person?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
I mean, really, like, they have an extra chromosome, so they're, like, more than a person.
I have...
More human than human, like a replicant.
Yeah, I mean...
Blade Runner 2049.
It's a weird evolutionary thing, right?
Right.
Because you're like... How did that trait, like, continue?
Because
you would think that, like, in caveman days, if that was, like, disadvantageous, that it would die out, right?
Right.
But it obviously didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have existed back then, right?
There had to have been, like, a Neanderthal with Down syndrome.
Yeah. And then, like, it's somehow
so they would
continued
have,
on.
They would have had, like, a giant forehead that was also ridged out. So
yeah.
They would look like the leader?
I guess so.
From Marvel Comics?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how those two things would combine.
Like, if a Neanderthal could have Down syndrome?
Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this is a genetic thing that hasn't come about until later.
I think that Neanderthals have different genetics from us. Like, there was at one point where we branched off. I don't know. Do we have any geneticists that listen to this podcast?
Yeah, and, like, can a...
Can you help us out?
Specifically Down syndrome. Like, can you have a gorilla with Down syndrome? I don't know.
Like a chimpanzee with Down syndrome?
I've been watching a lot of videos online about the... from the dodo.
Okay.
Because this is like an animal, you know, people rescuing animals. It's overcoming adversity.
It's like an Upworthy, but with animals instead of people.
And also it's never like, and then the cat died.
Right.
Because, you know, after the death of the cat, I've just been like, you know, I'll just queue up a couple animal stories and cry. And so, but like, you see different animals where you're like, okay, there was like a cockatiel who had cancer.
Right.
And I was like, I guess I've never thought about birds having cancer. And you're like, I guess birds get cancer, but I've just never really thought of, like, how do birds die? And I'm like, I don't know, they fly into a fucking door and then they die.
Like, they hit your car, or like, you know, a cat eats them.
Yes.
Or...
I think of everything in nature dying
they just get
in
cold.
Violent fashion.
I mean, really, like, when it comes to pet birds, like, you had two birds.
Yeah.
And they just kind of died.
They just, one day they were dead.
And it's the kind of thing, like, I heard, I think I heard from someone, I can't remember who it was, but like they were cooking with a nonstick pan.
Yeah, I told you this.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden their bird just died because of the gas released or something like that.
Yes. I told you this because at one time I was seeing a very nice woman who her parents had a lot of special needs cats.
Ah.
And like special needs cats are really interesting because like they basically just seemed drunk. Mm-hmm. Like they walked crazily. One of them jumped in my lap and I petted him for a while and it was nice. And it was like that experience was very typical cat.
Right.
Except for he kind of climbed into my lap. Like he dug his front claws into my leg to climb into my lap. But I was like, oh, this is because his back legs don't work quite right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I just got to allow this. So I petted him. And when he decided he's done, as cats are wont to do, he did not, like, you know, walk out of my lap and stretch and whatever. He just basically took a face plant into the floor. And I was like, oh, my God, I swear I didn't do that. But everyone else was not concerned because they're like, that's just what he does. Like, he just
falls over.
Flops down on the floor. And then he's, you know. So, like, I know special cats are out there. I just don't know if, like, can they have... Down syndrome.
Right.
Or like, what is the cat version of Down? I have no idea.
It's because, like, you know, when you have something that has like pretty low basic development, like say a cat or a bird.
Sure.
When you have something like a bird that has the intelligence of a 4-year-old, it's hard to tell, like, is it just as smart as a 4-year-old or does it have Down syndrome? Like, is it crazy?
Well, and like these cats, I will say, you could tell that something was up with them. Some more than others. The one was named Bud, and basically when he walked, it's like his legs crossed in front of each other, and like he was very wobbly, and he like couldn't go up and down stairs, you know. There was another cat named Peanut who was very... Peanut looked like a kitten, and I was like, how old is Peanut? Like a couple months or something? And they were like, oh no, Peanut's like 8.
No.
And you're like, oh, okay. And her back was like permanently arched. So on first glance, you would just think she was a kitten, but really she was just old and like...
So Peanut was a cat little person.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, I read this this book called The Troop by Nick Cutter. And it had this part where like a kid was basically a fucked up murderer kid.
Right.
And it was describing how he had tortured like some kind of animal. Let's just say a mouse or something.
Okay.
And it was kind of describing how, like, he tortures this mouse, and basically he, like, burned its eyes out, and it immediately just kind of started trying to, like, navigate via smell and touch and stuff like that, and how adaptable animals are when they have handicaps. Like, they're not very, like, they don't seem to spend a lot of time thinking, like, man, I'm handicapped. This sucks.
Right.
They're just kind of like, well, this is reality now.
I have to accept it and adapt to it.
It's almost like for all they know, this is everyone's reality. Like, so, maybe they don't think that far.
So animals are like Marines. They adapt and overcome.
Kind of. Like, you... Okay, I look at this blind cat on Instagram all the time.
Right.
And I'm like, I wonder if he knows that other cats can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he... knows, like, it seems that other cats have some kind of sense that I don't have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, when I see blind dogs, like, they seem to have, like, some idea that they're blind, but it's also because I think dogs are way more social than everybody else. They're like, oh, someone else knows something that I don't know, so I'm gonna just kind of rely on them to, like, walk around or, like, find where I'm going. Like, I'll listen.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, dogs are weird, too, because I feel like their pleasures are so simple.
Because
you're like, being a blind human, I just feel like would be pretty tough.
Because
there's a lot of visual cues in the world that you would miss out on.
Right.
But, like, as a dog, I mean, there's stuff you would miss out on. I'm not saying it's better to be a sighted dog than a blind dog. But also, I think a lot of your pleasures would still be fully intact.
Like, if your major pleasure is, like, getting pet... getting food, being in a warm place, and going for walks.
Right.
You're probably fine. I mean, there's lots of dogs that are, like, perfectly fine, like, going for a walk on a leash.
Yeah. Right, that's not an unusual situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it as a human. It's like, even the things like... if you jerk off to pornography...
okay.
You could not do that anymore.
Wait, what's pornography?
You know, stuff.
Okay.
Stuff where people take their clothes off.
Stuff where people take their clothes off and have a special hug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You could still jerk off, but you would just have to do it to imagination, right?
Like, you'd have to imagine what someone looked like?
I guess.
Do you think
or imagine blind, whatever.
Do you think blind people, when they masturbate, they're imagining what's like their ex-girlfriend smelled like?
Like, if you'd never had sight?
Right.
That's a hard question to answer, because I think if I went blind now, I would probably be jerking off to things I thought about that I had seen, and like sort of recreating the images in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had never had sight, maybe. Like, maybe if you're blind, you would ask your partner and you'd be like, put on this perfume whenever we're going to like get busy.
Right.
Because then that like helps me.
Tap into my hand like Helen Keller, like when it's sexy time.
Well, not that far. I'm just saying, like, okay, seriously.
Sexy time. Yes, well, yes, sexy time. Water.
Let me ask you this. Like, if you knew you were going to be blind in like a year.
Okay.
A, what would you spend the next year doing? And B, what would you... how would you spend, like, let's assume that once you're blind, you don't have to work anymore if you don't want to.
Okay.
You know, like, that's all taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
How would you choose to spend your time?
How would I choose to spend my time if I were blind?
Yeah. And you didn't have to, like, make a living, per se.
I think during certain months of the year, I would do nothing but watch, like, sunrises and sunsets.
Oh, okay, this is before you're blind.
Yeah, like before I'm blind.
Okay.
Like I would just do that over and over again.
Okay.
Just on the idea of like, that's a thing I'm never going to see again.
And that's something spectacular to...
Right.
Okay.
Like I would try to like go out of my way to find like really good sunrises and sunsets. Like I'd be like, where are really good ones?
Okay. I thought on the back of that last question, you'd be like, watch a lot of porno and try and memorize it.
I mean, that... that's also true. Like, I'd watch a lot of porno. I mean, I would look at my wedding pictures over and over again.
Yeah, of course.
To, like, you know, totally, like, burn those into my brain.
Yeah.
I love you, Wilma.
Touch my wife's face while looking at it to then bridge the experience.
Well, that's also something that's a little strange because my my spousal unit, who's probably listening to this, is basically blind when she takes off her glasses.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I were going blind, there's things that I think I would do, but then I know what I would actually do. Like, what I would actually do is I would spend all of my time playing, like, Mega Man games.
Right.
Because I know I'm not going to be able to do this.
That's something completely out of reach.
Right. Like, this will be completely out of reach when I'm blind.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, like, I know I would actually do.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that everyone's like, when I said it at first, like, oh, I would watch sunsets and look at my wedding photos. Like, those are the answers I'm supposed to give. But then right. I'm like, I would probably spend a lot of time, like, doing random bullshit.
Yeah.
That I just cannot do.
You're just like, oh, wait, I wouldn't be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, and where I'd be like, oh, I would probably play a lot of video games because, like, you could kind of replace books with audiobooks. Maybe not the experience of reading, but, like, you can still...
It's a reasonable facsimile.
You know, still a reasonable facsimile of it. Like, I would probably, like, not be able to go to plays anymore in the same way, but I don't really go to that many plays anymore now.
Mm-hmm.
There's handfuls of things that, like, I do that I probably could still do. It'd be weird to, like, go running with a cane or something like that.
Yeah, running would probably be...
Mm-hmm. Like, running
would
be... Well,
you could do a treadmill, right?
Yeah, I could
but
still
outdoor
go...
outdoor running.
Like, outdoor running would be kind of, like, something on the list. So I'd probably, like, try to go... I could combine stuff by, like, trying to go outdoor running when the sun was rising or setting.
Really cram it all
like,
in.
Like, really cram it all in.
While you're watching a porno.
Like, have a porno... Have a porno when I'm walking back, and I think the really...
On my cool down, I start watching pornography.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to watch some prawn as I'm going home. I think, like, honestly, the biggest thing is probably not sunrises or sunsets. That's just the answer I would give. I'd probably look at the stars. Like, I would probably want to, like, if I had, like, a year or 2 years before I went blind...
Yeah, I mean, you've got some time.
If I had, like, a couple years, I'd want to go to a place where I could really look at the stars, like a place, that, like a small town...
Yeah, hike up in the mountains.
Like, hike up in the mountains a lot and be able to do that because I think, like, that's among the images I'd want to have.
Yeah.
Because, like, even where I live now, I can't really see the stars very much.
Yeah.
And so that's something, like, that I miss.
Yeah.
And so that's probably, like, the thing I would miss the most if I were blind, like, aside from, like, seeing, you know, a couple people, but...
Sure.
But honestly, like, real me would probably be, like, I'm going to play every Mega Man game... I'm going to play all this.
Yeah.
Try to burn that, what it looked like into my brain.
Yeah. I get it. Well, I think we're of an age where you're like, okay.
Like, you get off the age where you're like, you realize that there's a possibility where there's going to be some things you'll never be able to do again.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, there's already been some things that time has taken away from you.
Well, there's some stuff like where I was skiing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, what if I got a knee injury and can never do this again?
Right.
You know, and I'm
which
like...
Which is, like, becoming... We're in the realm where that's becoming a real possibility.
Right. And so it's, like, the kind of thing where, like, 20-year-old me could always pass up, like, goes, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, 35-year-old me, I'm like, you know, what if my knee is injured in the next year and I can't go?
Yeah, right.
Like, I can't do it anymore, so I might, right. might as well do it now.
Yeah, true. Okay, so then what was the other question? Once you're blind, what do you think you would do a lot of? Like, assuming you didn't have to work, how would you kind of fill the days?
I mean, you're talking, like, aside from, like, walking into people and accidentally sexually harassing them to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm blind.
Yeah, but I just mean, like, what do you
groping
think
everyone.
Your hobbies would be?
Ooh, I think my hobbies would probably be... I think for a while, I would probably try to spend all of my time trying to do things that blind people are not supposed to do, like needlepoint.
Okay.
And then I'd be like, I did that.
Your wife has to come home and be like, oh, that's great. Thank
right.
you.
I would really try hard to, like, make an Upworthy video of, like, this blind man does a needlepoint.
And it's all fucked up looking, but no one has the heart right. to tell you that, like, listen, this is a heavily visual activity. Right.
In fairness, though, there's the blind guy who finished Punch-Out.
Yeah, but that's a timing game.
Yeah.
You
so,
could do that by sound or by other cues, right?
So
is that how you did it? Sound?
Yeah, he did it all by sound.
Yeah, and that's possible.
And so I'm like, I could...
You could do crazy shit like that.
Yeah, so, like, that might be one of the things I would do. And this is assuming, like, I don't have to go to work anymore.
Yes. Yeah, this is, like, I'm saying... You basically have the dream, which is you're retired at, you know, your mm-hmm. current age. But... You no longer have vision.
Mm. I think a part of it is I'd have to, like, become really good at some kind of board game I could play in the park.
Like chess or something?
Chess.
And you could touch all the things.
I could touch all the things and like visualize what was going on.
Okay. But be that weird blind guy in the right. park who's like, he's not great at chess.
But he's blind. So he's blind, pretty good at it.
You gotta give him some credit.
Right. Or like be the best blind Scrabble player ever. Best blind Twister player in all of existence.
I mean, I feel like Scrabble is a particularly like shitty pick for a blind person. It's like very visual.
So I part of me wants to challenge, like, if I had, you know, tiles where I could feel the letters that I had, like,
which I
like
think
feel
they
the
are
board.
Like,
yeah.
In, you know, embedded in the.
Yeah, you could feel the letters and you could feel kind of the board.
Uh-huh.
Right. And you could be like, I put my letter here.
Uh-huh.
And you like, here's what I had. And then here's kind of what I visualized. Like, I could imagine you could visualize it.
Sure.
The board a little bit. But that would be, you're right. That would be really hard because you'd have to have memorized. Like, there's no way someone who never seen a board before could visualize it because, like, you'd have to remember where all of the little bonus points are.
Well, and I feel like it'd be like trying to do a crossword puzzle when you're blind, which is like it's totally possible, but I think it's challenging in a way that crossword puzzles are not intended to be challenging.
Like if you had a way where it was all braille or all the letters and were like ridges were extended,
yeah,
like you could do it.
It's a combo of layout and letters and pre-existing words that are on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So like two of those three things are very visual.
You'd be constantly rubbing your hands over the board, and if you were doing the puzzle with someone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, could you play Boggle technically? But I think it would be way harder.
You'd have to play Boggle with like a bunch of other blind people.
Yeah, and even then.
It's sort of like, it's like skiing and snowboarding together, where you really can't do it
right
together. You really have to, like, it would be very hard to have something where you were trying to do this at the same time with someone who had sight. So you'd really be doing crossword puzzles by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you're doing a crossword puzzle. It might as well just be like someone reads the crossword puzzle clues to you and you try and get them or not. But there's really no, the crossing of the words is not really significant anymore, right?
I mean, I've done that. Like, I've been on road trips or in other places, like, where someone else had the pencil.
Sure.
And they had to, like, shout out clues to me to be like, five-letter word for blank, and then it's like, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, we tried to do one over Skype a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And it kind of works, but, like, it's not the
so
same
thing. By we, you mean you and Poon Master Flex?
Correct.
Okay.
Did you just want to say Poon Master Flex?
Well, I wanted to make sure she got her shout out. Poon Master Flex.
She's been listening to my show more now that we don't like live together.
Well, that's probably fair. Like, I mean, you've talked before about how you're surprised how people in your life don't necessarily listen to your show. Poon Master Flex is somebody who kind of got a lot of Pete.
Yeah.
And so didn't really need like more Pete was not necessary in.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I wouldn't think so. But what do I know?
In a way that, like, I think if I had a podcast,
uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure that Jen/Wilma would not listen to it.
Yeah.
Because she'd be like, because I would probably be like, hey, this is what I'm doing on the podcast. And then after that, be like, this is what I did on the podcast.
Yeah. It's just weird because it's like, it's sort of like being a novelist.
Right.
And you're married to someone and they're, you know, a fan of yours is like, what do you think of their books? And they're like, I've never read them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, really? Like, you've never read this person's books, or, like, you've never... I don't know. Now, I'm 100% sure if I, like, published a book that Poon Master Flex would read. Although, I don't think she's read, my like, all of my Kindle books. I would be surprised.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I have read probably 90% of your Kindle books.
Let's see.
All right.
I could probably go through them mentally.
All right.
Have you read the poems?
Yes.
Have you read Save the Arcade?
Yes.
Have you read Contra, Wads of Power?
I have.
Have you read Pete's Exhaustive Review of Model Land?
I actually have.
Have you read Origins? Bunch of short stories and shit like that.
Not only have that, but I've recommended that to others.
Boom. Have you read The First of Me?
Yes.
Which I think, okay, one of those two, First of Me, I think the First of Me is actually the short stories, and Origins is like old blogs, basically.
Yeah, like the Origins is the old MySpace blogs.
Yeah, up through like, I think it was basically that went up until I got HelpfulSnowman.com.
Right.
It's like 2012, 11, something. What else is there? Oh, there's Bowl Full of Jelly.
I have. There's Tough Shoot.
Tough Shoot.
Not only did I read that, I lived that. Yeah, that's true.
You were there. You're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Sons.
I own that.
What is that? 9. We're probably getting pretty close. Should I just look on here and see? I mean, you've read all of Digitally Stimulated, obviously.
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 Issue 5 is coming any day now.
Yeah, right. We've got a lot of good intentions.
Yeah. We have a lot of like, we should write that. There's a lot of discussions of when we get digitally stimulated back, we'll do that.
Helpful Snowman issue 1 comics.
I have that.
Skeleton Army.
Well, yes. Not only that, but I have issues of Bendy Skeleton 1 and 2.
That's true. Oh, The Abstaining and Third-Party Voters Guide to the 2016 Election.
Bought that.
That's it?
Yep.
So you've read them all.
Yep.
Gotta catch them all.
I am the Pokey Master. I am the Helpful Snowman Master. Take that, Darren Roberts.
What would you say are your top three?
Top three favorites?
If other people were gonna, like, I've not read any of these. Which ones would you say are like the three crucial, if there are three crucial ones?
I would probably say three crucial. I mean, I would put Origins in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Origins feels like it's a good starting point. Like, it gets you a lot of where Helpful Snowman came from, and also like where the early podcast episodes came from. So
that makes sense.
It feels like if you were into the podcast, that's where you would start.
Right.
Or maybe not a start, but like this is sort of the backstory.
Right.
Where it all began.
Right.
I think Tough Shoot I would recommend the most widely.
Yeah.
Like that feels like it's the most
general appeal.
It has that most general appeal, like as a short story, as a short piece of nonfiction. Skeleton Army I like a lot. But I would also like, I also like Wads of Power.
Yeah.
Like this sort of gay porn / contra fan fiction.
Did you ever see, I got that one Amazon review that was really funny?
No.
From that? Oh, let me pull it up here. It was basically someone who came upon it who was looking for like Nintendo Power and was like, what the fuck is this?
So someone was totally lost. They were looking for they were looking for hints on how to beat Simon's Quest.
I guess. I don't know what they were looking for or why they thought this was what they were looking for, because it was not.
Like, looking at the cover art, like, it's pretty clear that, like, this was not endorsed by Nintendo in any way.
Okay. 1 star, get this off the store. Oh, it's from January 1st, 2017, so it's, like, almost exactly a year old.
Right. By the way, we're recording this on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, this is how we're spending our New Year's Eve.
Should old acquaintance be forgot? Meh, 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 meh.
Okay, it goes,
and take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne.
Lang syne. All right. 1 star, get this off the store.
Okay.
Was WTF, that's in bold. WTF, WTF, dot, dot, dot. If you are reading this comment, you are the most screwed up person ever, dot, dot, dot. I can't believe anyone would write such a useless piece of crap. I was looking to see if anyone preserved the Nintendo Power magazines, dot, 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 and this piece of excrement comes up. WTS. Screw the person who wrote this book, dot, 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 what the crap, dot, dot, dot. Which I'm like, hey, homophobic.
Right.
But also, I don't know how you would buy this book and think that this was like a... okay, so here's what it's... It's Contra with two N's, Wads of Power. Okay, Contra colon, Wads of Power, second colon, an erotic adventure. And the summary is, an erotic adventure between two of your favorite flipping, machine-gunning, contrarian badasses, 8 bits of sexy, 12 pages, published in 2015. And it's got my author bio, which has a sort of semi-legitimate picture, and then it says biography. Peter Dirk doesn't understand why they've never sold a Twix called Twick that's just one long bar made of the two bars mashed together. And then this person is like, supposedly, I mean, like supposedly they, was upset.
They were confused between you and Nintendo Power.
Yeah, which I'm like, what about this?
Which
looks like Nintendo Power at all.
Which, by the way, did you know that Nintendo Power is back?
No.
In podcast form.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, like they went to podcasts and they decided, you know what their first episode would be about?
Hmm.
How Breath of the Wild is awesome.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't need that. Thanks, Nintendo Power.
I mean, I think that like Nintendo Power back in the day could get away with being naked marketing.
Right.
Because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, there was no other option.
There was no other option. Also, there was no other way to finish Metroid without you, Nintendo Power.
Right. But it was a good magazine.
It was fun.
It was highly
yeah.
enjoyable.
They had comics.
I mean, my wish back in the day was not that Nintendo Power didn't exist or was more fair. It was like, where's Sega Power? That's what I really wanted, was We're Sega Power.
Sega Blast.
Yeah, whatever the hell that was, I was like, yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
because we had a Genesis as kids, so
yeah,
we would have like, well, they would have told us there's no real good way to beat, you know, Cyborg Justice or Skitchen.
Yeah, it's like, how do you beat this game? It's like, I don't know. I mean, you kind of just play it until it gets unfair.
You just like
stop.
Just get good.
Yeah, just get really good, and then like, here's how you beat up Oruki on the motorcycle. But other right. than that, you're just kind of screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had this game called Skitchen, which like it was a sort of the son of Road Rash. Road right. Rash was like a motorcycle racing game where you're kind of on the highway and you could like punch other people so they fell off their motorcycles and there's cars and stuff. It was pretty fun. But Skitchen is the rollerblade version where what you would do is you basically hitch on the back of a car, like you hold onto the bumper and it carries you. And so then you try and like win a race against other people who are also skitching. And it's like kind of based on this insane premise, which is that cars are just driving down the highway at like 65 miles an hour and someone's attached to the bumper and they're just like, eh.
You're like in a weird highway, vaguely in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And you're on a highway that also happens to have ramps built in certain lanes.
Do you want to hear the Skitchen soundtrack?
Well, obviously. Skitchen!
See how radical it was?
I mean, you can hear the radicalness coming through.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at the box art for it right now, and in a huge red and white lettering across the back, it says "Remember Road Rash?" with question mark, which is basically like, "Hey, if you liked this, this
you
also
like this
might
thing,
be
it's
fine.
It's also a good thing."
Yeah. Never has marketing been so nakedly like, "We're basically doing the same thing, you guys." Teehee.
Remember Flappy Bird? This is also Flappy Bird.
Yeah,
but on rollerblades.
Okay, let's see. At 256 starts Cheese Grater.
See, this is how much they didn't care about the soundtrack because they just put it all into one video.
It's one... Well, it's an hour-long video, but it does seem like it's a lot of repeating. All right, here's one of the songs. I mean, it's kind of like a punk metal of the time.
It sounds like an
Grunge.
Arcade. Yeah, it sounds like an arcade game, you know, where it's like.
It has that hilarious, like, Sega, you know. This goes on for about 20 minutes. So let's skip ahead to 2707. Where's a new song? I've never heard this song.
Was this in the store?
Well, it's called Sniff. So maybe. Yeah, there was a store you would buy, like, wheels and stuff. It was never very clear exactly what that did. Okay, here's one called Eat My Junk. I mean, if you ever thought that Godsmack made the same song over and over, like, this is ridiculous. Here at 4625.
That sounds like the shop theme.
This one's called Smog Dog. Now, in theory, at the end, they may have, like, victory music or something.
Like when you win the race?
Yeah, so there's, like, 2 minutes
left. Oof. So that's, like, a weird turn, like where you go into outer space?
Do
Haas. This is their, like, move to industrial music?
Yeah. Anyway, that was Skitchen. There was like a few video games I remember that were trying to like capitalize on these sort of like 90s. There was like a street hockey game on Super Nintendo that was like hilarious because it was like street hockey and everyone's badass, but also you're like, I think this is like the Jamaican bobsled team playing street hockey. Like, I see what you did here.
Right.
You've mashed up a lot of things that have no business being together.
I have a vague recollection of this game, mostly because you could like skate into the wall.
Yeah.
And unlike most games where you like would skate into the wall and just kind of like flap into the wall, like you would sort of half pipe up and then turn around and come back down like in a really short time.
Yeah, the entire rink was like a giant half pipe somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense.
In a way that like nobody would be able to make a turn on a half pipe that fast.
Yeah. There were games from that time that I think sports games, especially when people realized like, okay, you either have to be Madden and be super realistic or go ape shit.
Right.
You have to be Mutant League Football or Madden. Mm-hmm. But let's not do halfway. Halfway is where people get upset.
There's one game that's super successful that was halfway where I bought the Kickstarter book for it, which was NBA Jam.
Oh, yeah. Have you read? Is the book out yet?
No, it's not out yet.
Oh, because I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
Because NBA Jam, I think, was pretty Mutant League Football.
It is like Football, like mechanically, but it had like the real teams and players.
It did, but it was far from being like a realistic depiction of basketball.
Are you saying that like there's no way that Hillary Clinton could dunk from half court?
Or Bill Clinton.
She's on fire!
Well, and like the special characters you could get was such a bizarre, it's like you could be Bill Clinton, you could be George Clinton. And you're like a tween in like the early 90s playing this, and I'm like, I don't know who the fuck George Clinton is.
I can't remember if Scorpion was in the game or not.
There was a Mortal Kombat character. There was one in there. There was, should I just bring up a list of like NBA Jam secret characters?
I mean, that's a game that is... Wasn't that remade, or isn't that crying out for a remake? I mean, it is crying out for a remake.
Oh, yeah.
Come on and slam. Oh, I did play that, because there's an arcade near our house. Like a free arcade that has NBA Jam.
All right. Tell me if you know these names, because I don't know a lot of these. Eric Simulski.
No.
Mark Turmel.
No.
Sal DeVita.
I think these are the developers, so no.
Jamie Rivet.
No.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I know that one.
Al Gore.
Sure.
Dan Weasel Feinstein.
No.
As if Chow Chow Chowdhury.
No.
Tom Scruff Rademacher.
No.
Eric Kabuki Kubi.
No.
Warren Moon.
Yes.
George P. Funk Clinton.
Yes.
Which they also have like his middle is like alias as P. Funk, and I'm like, yeah. I'm pretty sure
everyone knows. Like everyone who knows is going to know that, and it, like having P-Funk in there is not going to help anybody.
And there's also Air Dog, who I think was just kind of a made-up character.
Wait, is it Air Bud?
No, it's just Air Dog.
Oh.
What's his name? Oh, okay. Marv Albert.
All right.
That's the, like, famous announcer, right?
Mm-hmm.
This ad has, or this thing has so many ads on it. Sarah Palin. But that's in, like, 2010. I don't care about
that. Yeah, that was a ROM hack.
Prince Charles in 95.
Okay.
Yeah, Air Dog was like a kid. He's probably the son of a producer or programmer. George Clinton, who had his full thing on. Carol the Blaze Blazejowski.
I was kind of hoping you said Carol Burnett. That would be awesome. I feel like Carol Burnett was in NBA Jam.
She was like a women's college player. Hillary Clinton. I didn't know she was in there.
Yep, she's in there.
There you go. Oh, John Elway in 1996.
Sure.
Will Smith.
Yeah, all right.
Benny the Bull, the Bulls mascot.
Sure. Mascot seemed like a good addition to an NBA Jam.
I agree. Oh, Reptile from Mortal Kombat. Sub-Zero and Raiden.
All right.
Oh, MCA from the Beastie Boys.
It seemed like weird they didn't have Scorpion. Like, if you're going to have a Mortal Kombat character, you always go with Scorpion.
Which one do you think would be the best character at basketball?
Well, Raiden is a god. So, yeah. I mean, like, that kind of... Being the thunder god kind of helps.
That never made sense in that game. Because you're like, I mean, I guess this guy's like a ninja... Or, like, this lady is kind of a ninja with a fucked up face.
I'd also go
this
with...
This guy's a god.
I'd also go with Scorpion because he's a demon. But on the other hand, like, I'm trying to think of the people, like... Oh, Mortal Kombat 3 is Sindel because she can fly.
Flying would be helpful.
Like, flying
Cabal is super fast.
Like, yeah, like...
He Cabal can blow super- right by people so fast that they spin around like a Wile E. Coyote tornado thing.
I'd probably have to go with Sindel as the best, mostly because she can fly.
Yeah.
I mean, she could be like, if she's hit hard enough, she'll fall down, but like...
Now, who would be terrible?
Mm.
I think Jax would be terrible, because I think that your vertical leap would suffer terribly if you had metal arms.
Mataro.
Is that the, like...
The horse
man?
One.
The horse man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the metal tail,
not
like...
Be great.
I mean, he would draw a lot of fouls.
Kind of unstoppable, yeah.
Like, but charging. I think... Like, he would draw a lot of fouls. Like, it'd be impossible, like... A giant horse with a tail is basically like going to draw all kinds of foul play.
Well, just by moving down the court, he would be charging at all times, right?
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be very... He was never very fast.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of like... He'd be great on defense.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you would do is you would just, like, plant him at the three-point line or, like, at half court. And then again, I don't know. Horses don't run very fast backwards, but he seemed to... do fine going backwards.
Yeah.
It's like he's like a horse who could walk backwards really well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know if a horse would be great at basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of faith. Let's put it that way.
I mean, yeah, that's true. They never made an Air Bud, but with a horse.
No, they didn't.
Take that, Hollywood. I'll sell you the screenplay for $100,000.
Those movies are so dumb. Because you're just like, here's the thing about Air Bud. It's predicated on the idea that a basketball team is so poor at playing basketball that a dog would be able to do it better. Even though a dog can't really understand the rules very well and is extremely short. And, like, a dog can't really shoot a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, if your basketball team was so bad that they had a dog that was, like, a star player...
It seems like there's like almost a lost opportunity because like I could see a dog being an okay little league player where all you have to do is catch the ball and get an out.
If they didn't bat, really?
Yeah, like if it... Well, if like the ball is
broke
like...
Broke its teeth off.
That's the other problem.
Balls.
Yeah, like it breaks its teeth. You just this sort of... I mean, the dog all... Like Air Bud also like used its nose to bump a basketball.
Yeah, and I guess a dog could like run the bases pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If you were a coach of, like, a little league basketball team, whatever, peewee team, and someone was like, okay, even if Air Bud was a real situation, and they were like, we could have this dog on our team, I'd be like, guys, that is going to be so demoralizing to our team.
Like,
I can't do that to these kids.
We can't have that happen. Like, we just can't do it.
Yeah, I'd be like, listen, it's not a track team. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, well, obviously a dog is going to be a huge asset. Because can a dog carry a baton and run fast as shit? Yes.
Right. We can train the dog to, like, stay in its lane.
Yeah.
That's all we need it to do.
Can I explain to a dog zone defense? I don't know. I'm not real confident on that one.
Isn't there, like, a version of Air Bud where he played football?
Yeah, Air Bud Golden Receiver.
And, that's the one that blows my mind. I could actually see a dog as, like, a wide receiver.
I could, too, except for it only takes the one opposing player who's, like, willing to take a dog down hard.
Right.
Before you're like, I don't think this dog's going to last. Like, I don't think a dog is prepared to be tackled by, like, a 350-pound man.
Like, just, like, the dog is, like, just completely violated.
Yeah, and just crushed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the size of an NFL player versus the dog. Like, if an NFL player caught the dog, I just feel like it would be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't take long for that to happen.
The dog would last, like, a couple plays, maybe a game.
It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of finding that player who's like, I'm willing to ruin a dog's life.
I'm willing to ruin a dog's life for like $500,000.
Which there is somebody out there.
Right.
Who's willing to tackle. Let me ask you this.
This is like a league-breaking thing.
There's like a golden retriever in the park, and someone's like, you'll get paid $500,000 to tackle that dog as hard as you can. Like, smash it against a wall. Now, you'll get paid $500,000 to do this, and there's not going to be any sanctioning against you. In general, it's going to be like the dog's owners know what this dog's getting into.
Right.
Do you think you'd be able to do it?
I mean, are you asking me like for $500,000?
Yeah.
That I would tackle this dog?
You're basically going to cripple a dog for $500,000.
Oh, so like I have to like tackle it and try to cripple it, as opposed to like I'm going to tackle it with all of my strength.
Yes. I mean, we're assuming you're tackling it to cripple.
Okay.
And this is like a 3-year-old dog.
And the owners are fine with it. And it's not like a rabid dog or...
No.
Like
it's
a
not
mad
like,
dog.
It's
there's
not
no
attacking
like,
a kid or something.
There's no like
You're
social
You're not
Tara
the hero cat here.
Right. Like, I'm not going to be a hero.
No. You're not going to be a hero. I mean, you'll be seen as sort of a villain, but it's like in this NFL situation where it's like, I mean...
Like, I want to win the game.
Yeah, and like people can be mad at you, but on the other hand, lots of people will come to your defense and say like, well, that's why a dog probably shouldn't play football.
I don't know. I feel like I feel like knowing myself, I probably actually would do it.
That's fucked up.
Like, I would probably...
Why?
I think that part of me would say, like, you know what? This is the kind of thing where I would stare at a lot of people and say, like, why did you let this dog on the field?
Yeah.
Why did you, like, why did the refs let it on the field? Why did the league let it on the field?
But don't you feel like someone else could do it? Like, can't you just be like, this doesn't need to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you do with the $500,000?
Oh, donate it to ASPCA.
But you could just or not ruin a dog's life.
Or I could buy a boat.
I mean, that's kind of like murdering a child and then donating to a child forward charity, right?
I mean, in fairness, Air Bud, like, Bud was an orphan dog.
Yeah.
So I could, like, adopt another dog. And then, like, I could adopt a dog and then buy a boat. And then I'd have this dog hang out on a boat.
You would probably be one of sports history's greater assholes. pop culture's greater assholes. Because it's like, for a brief shining moment, we had a dog playing football, and then this motherfucker was like, no more.
And then Ian Dirk ended this whole thing.
Just tackled him full on, full steam ahead.
I feel like it would be the best, like, 30 for 30 ever.
Oh my God. Yeah, like, ESPN would be creaming themselves, just like, this is going to be amazing.
It would really be the first 60 for 60 kind of thing of like, they would just have a live interview with me to be like, why did you do it?
Yeah, it'd be the first 29 for 30, because they'd be like, well, technically this one's in two parts, because this is too crazy.
Mm-hmm. like we just have to talk to this guy and figure out what happened. Like,
yeah,
he killed a golden retriever.
Yeah,
for money.
Yeah, it's like it dies on the field on camera, punctured lung, just crippled.
Well, punctured lung, that seems a little like dramatic.
Well, but
like,
that can happen, right? You tackle it and his ribs just go right in.
Like, I mean, that's how it died, but I don't want it to, like, show up on camera. Like, I kind of want it to be, like, if I had tackled, like a regular guy really hard.
Yeah.
And, like, he kind of gets loaded onto the cart and driven away.
Yeah, that's what it would be like. But then it would be like, he basically killed Hero Dog with his bare hands.
And this is where,
for
like...
money.
But this is part of where, like, in that, like, 29 for 30 episode, I'd be like, look, all of you people... You all watched human beings be carried off the field with life-altering injuries, and y'all didn't make a documentary about that.
Oh, see, this is where you could make your big point.
Yeah, like...
You could be like, I killed a dog to make a point.
Like, I killed a dog, and y'all are freaked out about it, but you watched a gladiator sport for decades and don't care.
Yeah, right. You've seen this a dozen times, you just didn't know it.
Right.
But, like, when Junior Seau killed himself, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't really care about that.
No, like, one, this came out of nowhere.
Does anyone know the person who's responsible for that? No, it's no one person.
Now who's the monster?
Dun, dun, dun. That's a pretty good spin.
Yeah, where you just say, like...
I know that you did it for the $500,000.
Like, I did this for money. Like, but I can say, like... But that's also the point of it, where someone's like, well, what about you? It's like, I did this for money. I got money from this. What did you get? Like, yeah, that's where I look into the camera and be like,
it.
What did you get? What did you... How did
you
benefit?
That highlight reel of just like the hardest tackles of the week.
Right. You bought the video. You paid to watch all of that.
Yeah.
I didn't. I got paid to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a hitman, but you're basically someone who paid to watch me kill people.
Like, I'm
like,
a hitman.
The real sick guy.
I got paid to kill people for money. I got paid to kill a dog. You got paid to, like, you pay to watch someone kill a dog.
That's true. Like, who's the real monster? The hitman or the person who
pays to watch
the hiring of the hitman?
Not even the person who facilitated to hire it.
Well, indirectly.
It's the person who watches for their own enjoyment. They don't benefit from it.
But even take it that far.
Right.
Who's the worst person? The hitman or the person who hires the hitman? I would say the person who hires the hitman is worse. Because A, if they didn't hire the hitman would have no work. And B,
right,
if they took care of their own shit, they wouldn't have to get this middleman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's basically a middleman who's carrying out their will, which is terrible.
Exactly. So we have about 2 hours and 20 minutes left in 2017.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I was thinking we could go out on that, but I did also have a question for you.
Ooh, we could make this a two-parter episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll go pee right now because I got to pee.
Seems like a good idea.
Desperately.
So listen to part two.
Okay.
You can also check out Helpful Snowman, helpfulsnowman.com. You can also check out Helpful Snowman on Twitter at Helpful Snowman. You can also follow Helpful Snowman on Instagram at Helpful Snowman. You can follow him on Facebook as well. Facebook is a little bit less active, mostly Twitter. If you want to get to Helpful Snowman, that's probably the best place to go. You can't retweet anything because all the tweets are locked. So really, if you're listening to this and you're a brand new listener, hey, welcome. Do that. But check out the website, helpfulsnowman.com. Awesome. Beow, beow, beow.